have eternal life. Many have heard these words from the Bible. But do they really hear these words from the Bible? And do you hear the words, God so loved? Now, we want to stop with those words, God so loved, and find comfort in them. Find acceptance and affirmation. God so loves me becomes so ingrained in our mind that we separate that he gave from God so loved. And in turn, we lose sight of the reason why the Father gave his one and only Son. By forgetting the why, we turn God's love into God's affirmation and blessing upon whatever we do. Because God loves me. Therefore, I do not need to repent, nor do I need to change my life. We must not lose sight of the reason the Father gave the Son. The love of God is demonstrated in the reason he gave his Son to die on the cross for our sins. John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. You and I and the whole world need a Savior. We needed to be saved from our sins. And that is exactly what the cross accomplishes. Complete forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness not because we deserved to be forgiven. Forgiveness because of the love of God. The compassion of God compelled him to do all that was required to make forgiveness possible. Forgiveness is possible only because God made it possible. There is absolutely nothing in our own strength and ability that can bring forgiveness into reality. Our sin is against him and his holy righteousness. Only the living God, full of perfect love and holy righteousness, could make forgiveness possible. When we speak of God's love, we must also speak of his holiness and righteousness. For the love of God is holy. The love of God is righteous. That's what makes God's love perfect. God's love is holy, is righteous, is true, is good, is kind, is everything that perfect love truly is. Perfect love looks at the world and grieves over the evil and rises in judgment. That judgment leads to the wrath of God being set in motion. And the wrath of God in action is not a pretty thing. The wrath of God is wielded to stop evil. The weight of judgment of God upon people is to bring about repentance. And behind it all is love. God's love is behind it all. I ask you, can perfect love let the guilty go unpunished? Can perfect love ignore wickedness, ignore rebellion, ignore sin? Perfect love does not overlook evil, wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Perfect love died on the cross to make forgiveness possible. This is in keeping in perfect accord with God's own nature. One of the clearest expressions of God's nature is found in the end of Exodus chapter 33 and the beginning of Exodus chapter 34. Moses says to the Lord, "Now show me your glory." And I read from Exodus 33. "And the Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." The Lord hid Moses in a cleft of a rock, and the Lord will cover Moses with his hand as he passes by. Moses may not see the face of God, but may see the Lord's back. And with Moses hidden in that cleft of rock, protected by the Lord's mighty hand, the Lord passes by. Exodus chapter 34. "And as he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished.'" The Lord our God is compassionate. The Lord our God is gracious. The Lord our God is abounding in love. The Lord our God forgives wickedness, rebellion, and sin. The Lord our God is righteous and does not leave the guilty unpunished. Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, disobeying the command of the Lord, even with the warning that eating from the tree, you will die. They disobeyed the Lord, and sin entered the whole of creation. The Lord banished them from the garden, lest they eat from the tree of life that was also in the middle of the garden. But before they were banished, promise of future redemption was given. In that great disobedience that brought sin and death into all creation, redemption was promised. Banished from paradise, the Lord still loved Adam and Eve. The perfect love of the Lord is expressed throughout the Old Testament. The perfect love of the Lord is in the commands given. The perfect love of the Lord is in the judgments rendered. The perfect love of the Lord is in the wars when Israel prevails. The perfect love of the Lord is in the wars when Israel is routed. It is written in Deuteronomy chapter 7, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples of the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. I show these things to you so that you may see the Bible, along with being words of life and words of truth, the Bible is words of love." Yes, the Bible is words of love. It is easier to see the words of love in the New Testament. The words of love are expressed throughout the Old Testament too. The whole Bible is the Lord's love revealed and recorded to show us the depth of love, to show us the depth of our sin, and to show us the way of forgiveness and redemption. When the Lord commands, "Thou shalt not," those are words of love. When the Lord's judgment releases the wrath of the Lord, the judgment and wrath are actions of love to bring about a warning of breaking the commands and to bring about repentance leading to forgiveness. May your hearts hear the words of love expressed in the entire Bible. The entire drama of human history is the Lord's love working its way to the fulfillment and completion in the day when the new Jerusalem comes down and the Lord God will dwell with man. As it is written in Revelation 21, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." That is why it is written in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. You see at just the right time, when we were still sinners, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. I'm going to read that again. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. That is why it is written in 1 John chapter 4, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The way of forgiveness is opened. The way of forgiveness is only through Jesus, the Son of God. Anyone can come to this way of forgiveness. It does not matter what you have said or done. It does not matter the depth of depravity, the vileness of your deeds, the wickedness of your wandering. It does not matter if it's the millionth time you have asked for forgiveness for the same sin. Forgiveness is yours, waiting with wide open arms. The parable of the prodigal son is about the ever-waiting forgiveness of the Lord God. And there's a song written. 1973, it topped the charts for 4 weeks. It was the number one song for the year, and it's an all-time favorite for many. And this song is about love and forgiveness. And you'll probably be humming it the rest of this day. "I'm coming home. I've done my time. Now I've got to know what is and isn't mine. If you receive my letter telling you I'd soon be free, then you'll know just what to do if you still want me. If you still want me. Tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree." You can keep going if you want to. It's been 3 long years. Do you still want me? If I don't see a ribbon round the old oak tree, I'll stay on the bus, forget about us, put the blame on me. If I don't see a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. Now the second verse, bus driver, please look for me, because I couldn't bear to see what I might see. I'm really still in prison, and my love, she holds the key. A simple yellow ribbon's what I need to set me free. I wrote this and told her this. And again, the chorus comes again. And then the final part, I have to skip a word, but hear how it ends. Now the whole bus is cheering, and I can't believe I see 100 yellow ribbons round the old oak tree. And it finishes with, I'm coming home. Wow. You see, it got to people's hearts. The Father loves you. And tied more than simply 100 yellow ribbons around an old oak tree, He gave His one and only Son to die in a tree for you. The Father loves you. The Father loves you. Come home to the Father's love, a love that will never let you go. Amen.